I want to talk Super Bowl commercials now. I'm an ad guy. I love watching the commercials, how they impact me, how they touch me. Do they move me to want to purchase something, right? Are they just funny, right? Because funny doesn't necessarily equal the I guess the outcome or what you're trying to accomplish, which is ultimately to drive people to purchase your product. So I wanted to bring on an expert to talk about all these things from Chase Media Group, standing at 5'11", 205 pounds. He was a fantastic basketball coach at the AAU level, coaching some of these Lone Peak individuals that you hate on all the day, every single day.
You're
always hating the man, the myth, the legend, Mike Chase. What's up, Mike?
I even had kids that played with a couple of your cousins.
Yeah, absolutely. Man. I love Lone Peak more than Ben. No. I just always give Ben a hard time because Ben's a silver spoon guy. Ben is silver spoon, man.
A walk-on can't be a silver spoon guy, though.
I don't know if those house kids are silver spoon. I don't know. I really do.
Those kids are beaten.
Yeah. Like,
yeah. 700 shots before 6 a.m.
Exactly. Yeah. Go hit your 100 free throws before
Uncle
you go
Marty
to bed.
Doesn't mess around.
You don't get your dessert.
The Emory kids, too. I mean, those kids, they are workaholics. I had kids that played with them, and it was just never ended.
It's the perfect combination of being a true workaholic, but also with having the means to access some of the nicer stuff. And that's kind of rare because a lot of the kids that are willing to work the hardest, they don't really have the means to get all of the opportunity that other kids. But then when you have the means, it's hard to muster up the want to. When you have all of that stuff, it's hard to feel that pain and go and put forth that kind of
effort.
But
if you can bring the chemistry together, which is rare, but it happens. When it happens, it's pretty special.
And you can really take off. And, that's why those guys have refined their skills so much to where they can drop 30 points freshman year against Gonzaga.
Yeah. Well, they lost to UVU, so, I'm kidding.
I don't remember that.
Those poor guys, they're going to have to go and have a lot of water go under that bridge before that's forgotten, isn't it?
No, I can't wait for the future. The potential of this team is awesome, and I can't wait to see what happens next year. And, at the end of this year as well, because I think anything is possible, Kevin Garnett. Michael.
Yes.
The commercials during the Super Bowl, some of them were good, some of them were bad. We want to talk winners and losers, but give me your overall feeling. Was it a good Super Bowl, ad season, in your opinion?
I'm not sure that we had the you remember the Dodge a couple of years ago with Paul Harvey that came on that just everybody was talking about. Like or not like Dodge or Paul Harvey, everybody thought that was terrific. I don't know that we had that ad, but what we're seeing more and more and more is we're starting to see a lot of advertisers just do really solid ads. What we were surprised with is how much, $5 million it takes to get in to the Super Bowl. At the local level, we had some local ads on there too as well, and they weren't $5 million, but it's pretty expensive. You would think that you would be a little bit more down the middle on a couple of things. You think that you would be a little bit more standout on a couple of things. As far as ads that we thought were really good, I have to tell you that Tide got us all. Every single one of us. I mean, we're all sitting there, a group of 15, 18 people, whatever we were in our group. And, he's got a stain on his shirt. Oh, my goodness. And he's just such a likable guy, Terry Bradshaw. What I mean? And all of a sudden, they just sucked us in. And suddenly, what's the guy, Tambor's? He shows up at, I think it's Jeffrey Tambor, is that guy. All of a sudden, he shows up at his house, and he's like, can we watch the game while you wash my shirt? But going into that, we're all just feeling for him because here he is on national TV and everything. And he's got, I think, all of us that we've talked to from the advertising side of this thing, and think about this, 20%, sometimes 25%, depending on the year, watch the Super Bowl for the ads. They're not Super Bowl. They're not football.
They're not football fans.
Yeah. And so what we look for as advertisers is, did you set up your brand? Did you win on your brand and whatnot? And that was probably our top winner. Another one that we thought was just absolutely terrific was the buy drink. Now, I don't know about you guys. I'd never really heard of that. I may have seen it in a convenience store.
Maybe
or something.
buy.
But you got
and the guy that's reading. What's that guy's name?
Christopher Walken.
Walken. And he's just reading it quietly, and then it kind of zooms out and it scans over, and you see Justin Timberlake.
Yeah. And Justin Timberlake doesn't even have to say.
And who has more star power at just a glance than Justin Timberlake?
Exactly.
I mean, the list is 5 or 10 people long of star power at a glance. And Justin Timberlake has it. That was awesome.
And we've talked about probably, we've been asked what our favorite of all time is. And I would have to say that it's very, very possibly the Budweiser, the Frogs. Do you guys remember that one, don't you?
I would have to say Cindy Crawford.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah.
At that time of life. That was really important to me. 13-ish. Yeah.
But we thought that the Bai drink, I mean, they just suddenly went national. If you weren't aware of the Bai drink, now it's Bai, Bai, Bai. And everybody has that song in their head and everything else. We thought they did a really nice job. Did you have a favorite?
I loved that commercial. And I thought, I'll go through into mine, but I did think also that Tide was really smart. And Terry Bradshaw, like you said, being so likable, but also they connected a hashtag to it and they gave it the opportunity to go viral, which is something that hasn't always been there. And not all commercials took that advantage. And so that hashtag started trending and it got them even more mileage out of that.
Well, here's one, just to your point, Squarespace. Now, we have all the social media, the YouTube and everything that we have in today's advertising. And Squarespace, all of a sudden we get in there and it's John Malkovich, which we're just sitting there going, what? What is this ad? Well, for those who were in the right place at the right time to hear about it and really wanted to go look, they'd been presenting this ending in the Super Bowl on YouTube where you had, you know, maybe 5, maybe 7 million viewers. I kind of lost track where that ended up. But you have 110 million viewers. And so there's all these people that are watching that ad with Squarespace where here's this big stage they paid all this money for, all these ratings for, 38, 40 share, which is massive. Mm-hmm. I mean, and all of a sudden, a bunch of us are going, what? And right at the end of that ad.
And it's worldwide.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's 130-some-odd thousand per second.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but, you know, the other thing is I was recently just in England and going to pubs to get some fish and chips and just kind of see the sights. And they only watch soccer games there, which is a different conversation for a different day. But they were really advertising the Super Bowl was going to happen, and it was going to start at whatever time in the middle of the night, 3, 4 a.m.
Right.
And it was one of their biggest single events for the whole year, too. And they do it at 3 a.m.
Exactly.
So, yeah, there is the power there, and you can make it worth $130,000-some-odd per second.
Per second. Exactly.
My personal favorite would have to be the Cam Newton commercial. I think that Buick has a – it's just – everyone thinks that Buick is a car for old people.
It's the grandpa car.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And they kind of just – I even have a brother-in-law who has a Buick, and he makes jokes about it.
It didn't work with Shaq.
Yeah.
It's not going to work with Cam Newton.
Well, because Shaq,
that's my problem.
I felt like it stood out. It's like, if that's a Buick.
You're not going to buy a Buick. You saw the Buick, and you're not going to buy it, though. You're a big dude. Okay, and that I feel like that whole...
Well, yeah, because Buick doesn't make a truck. I only buy trucks, so that's irrelevant.
No, but still.
But go back through it. The point was made. We actually had that on our honorable mention list. Because
And Cam's so big in his pads.
My thing is, though, it was
such
funny.
An impressive,
it's funny, but it's not going to push me to buy a Buick. I will not go test drive a Buick just because it was funny.
Well,
because
you can buy a Bay soda, a Bai soda for $350.
I understand,
but you got to buy a new Buick for $50,000.
But
like
it's
not easy to just buy it right away. All they need is one person for every 20,000 to end up buying a Bai soda.
Do you think it was an effective commercial to get people to generate enough interest?
And before I go there, I have to say this, and I don't know why I have to say this, but if your dad bought you a Buick, I'm sorry, I had to go there. Anyway,
if your dad bought you a Buick,
well, I also have to buy my own Buicks. I can't just get it handed to me, so I have to be careful about what I buy because I have to pay for it myself. I don't have I don't have a trust fund.
Whatever. You know what? You got a 4-star recruiting, five official visits. Okay. I didn't get none of those. So it all evens out.
To answer your question, do I think it was effective? I really do. And the reason why is because they're not people that are in the market to buy a Buick, who are interested in a Buick, who might have been just a little bit embarrassed to say that I really like those cars even when I see them. Mm. They're starting to find a way to make Buicks cool again, or they're just going to go away like Oldsmobile and everybody.
They're just going to have to change their entire body type. Yeah. What they need to do is they need to get on the same boat as Kia and Hyundai and hire away Audi engineers and then bring them over to Buick, and then they'll probably sell more vehicles. That's my opinion. But you know,
but we're talking about it today.
And yeah, we're talking about
when
it.
We do this.
And that was the other
review.
Question I had for someone like you is: I look back on Super Bowl. Ads of the past, and I really feel like whether it's funny or whether it's something, a lot of them became iconic. Mm-hmm. You know, the supermodel Diet Pepsi commercials, like you said, the Budweiser commercials, mm-hmm. the Clydesdales, the Frog, the What's Up.
The Paul Harvey Dodge commercial.
The Paul Harvey iconic commercials. Now I kind of feel like, are they still trying to compete with that and be iconic, or are they just trying to do something Are they playing it a little bit different now? Rather than trying to compete with being hilarious like the Doritos commercials, are they just trying to make sure that they're memorable and get their name right in and act fast? Is it a different approach, do you think?
I think it's a little bit of a different approach, because one of the things that's happening with the Super Bowl is it's becoming more and more family, a family event. Mm. You know, for example, we had everything from about 8 years old to, you know, quite a bit older.
Yeah, and I used to abhor.
My kids watched them. My
like
7-year-old
the
GoDaddy
commercials. Exactly. They were just overdone.
And you're seeing less and less of that. Yeah. I mean, that one thing that was kind of weird was when T-Mobile kind of went that way. When people are going away from that, and the reason they're going away from
didn't Verizon get a little bit risque with their stuff?
Like the Carl's Jr. commercials of the past.
Let me tell you something.
Not that I remember them.
One of the advertisers we thought was one of the biggest winners yesterday is somebody that didn't even put an ad into the Super Bowl, and that's Verizon. Now, if you go back to the T-Mobile, who's been in there, and they've done really well the last 2 or 3 years, you know, talking about how unique and how different they are. Well, now they're getting caught up in the bag on Verizon. You go to the T-Mobile commercials, and all they talk about is Verizon, Verizon, Verizon.
Yeah, same thing with Sprint.
Yeah, and Sprint, and that was the next thing we were going to. It was a great ad. They had the dummy in the vehicle going over the clip so he could fake his death so he could get out of that Verizon contract. Mm-hmm. They had, I think we counted, we were like, wait, what? Whose ad was that? So we backed that up, watched it again, and I think we counted that there were 3 Verizon mentions to 1 Sprint mention. Huh. And it was the guy that everybody's like bagging on because he left Verizon to become the Sprint spokesperson. You know what I mean?
So, well, and they also admit that they're trying to say there's only a 1% difference, which in one way is admitting that there is a 1% difference, and there might be some people that are willing to pay for that.
But it's interesting that Verizon, we're talking about Verizon. Verizon didn't even buy an ad, and there were multiple ads that highlighted Verizon. Yeah. Verizon got a lot of verbal attention yesterday.
Yeah, winner. Verizon, Verizon.
That's a great point.
You know, a couple of them kind of like made me laugh, and honestly, some of these that actually stood out to me were almost like counterintuitive. Like, for instance, the Michelob Ultra ad. I'm working
CrossFit.
Out CrossFit. I just run a marathon. Mm-hmm. I'm cycling, and then lo and behold, afterwards, I'm just like, yeah, I'm dehydrated, I'm thirsty. Let me grab my Michelob Ultra. Completely counterintuitive.
What's wrong with this picture?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, what are we doing here? The Turkish Airlines, where did that one come from? Just out of the blue, and then Morgan Freeman's talking to me about Turkish Airlines. I'm like, all I can think of is Turkish Delight from Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. I'm like, that doesn't sound very delightful. The Mr. Clean commercial was interesting.
I'll tell you, that's been one that's been... You know, as we've gone around and people invite us to do this every year, there's been thumbs up and thumbs down on that one.
Well, I'd say the females that are watching that type of commercial, which, you know, once again, you're playing to that family atmosphere, and it's kind of funny, and Mr. Clean's kind of doing this little hip thing. And it's like, what? Guys are like sitting there like, oh, like, and I saw one of my buddies actually tweet out, you know, my wife has left me for Mr. Clean or something like that. I thought it was pretty funny. But
here's the cool thing. You know, the glass is half full or half empty on this particular ad. Mm-hmm. You're sitting there going, okay, this is kind of creepy. But then all of a sudden, if you realize you're the guy, you're the husband that does the cleaning around the house.
And you get a little bit of love.
Hey, baby.
Giddy up to market. I'll buy that loaf of bread.
It might be your wife's love language.
Yeah. It might be. You got to know the love language of the wifey. We're up against a break. We'll continue to chat about this. You want to stick around for another
segment,
Mike?
Love to.
Jay Caressa by my side. You're listening to Cougar Sports, ESPN 960.
This is Cougar Sports with Ben Criddle on ESPN 960, Utah County's sports station.
Welcome back, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. This is Cougar Country. Jay Caressa, Big Sexy, is back from Jerusalem, the Holy Land. He's a transformed individual. He was rebaptized in the Dead Sea. Well, technically, I guess he wasn't really
Wouldn't
rebaptized.
It be sweet, though, can you do that? Get rebaptized?
You go back to the Holy Land
I'd
to get
like
rebaptized?
I'd like to set one up for like the day that I turn 50. I think that I could hold on for 50, but since 8, man... There's a lot of stuff on the record that I hope is all cleared up, man. Oh, but sometimes I forget.
You know, the atonement is real, man. The atonement is real. So you got to use it or else you lose it, dog.
Well, I'm embarrassed to admit, I was right around $3 when I went there. They couldn't get me under because you float. The way you float on that Dead Sea over there, it was just like, how did they ever baptize anybody in this thing?
Yeah, it's
especially the big boys.
It was forceful.
Very
you know?
Buoyant.
Yeah. Buoyant indeed. But you're a transformed individual. So glad to have you back, Jake Caress. We got Michael Chase from Chase Media Group on with us here. And we're at Thanksgiving Point Golf Course. Check out the Vanguard Players Card, vanguardgolf.com. Only $99. You get 4 rounds of golf with that $99 purchase to the 6 Vanguard locations and discounts for the rest of the year. Check it out, vanguardgolf.com. We'll continue to chat about the Super Bowl ads in this segment. Also, got to get your thoughts, Jake, on the signing class in this segment as well. Mike, we mentioned a few things off air that we wanted to discuss. You mentioned one particular ad, and before we get to that, well, BYU fan, I asked the question that I was like, hey, you know, what did you think? Who were the winners and who were the losers of the commercials yesterday? And he states that, did you see the ads, Criddle? We were all losers yesterday. Super Bowl ads used to be good. And even Jeff Sheets, a mentor of mine at BYU, he was over the ad lab when I was there. He's been in the ad world for a long time. I don't mm-hmm. know if you've interacted
very,
with
very
Jeff.
Very familiar with Jeff.
Yeah, I love Jeff, and he's taught me so much. But, you know, he was a little bit disappointed in the overall product.
But here's the thing, man. Those people aren't marketing experts. They're just people that want to be entertained.
I understand.
So if you're paying $5 million for
not,
a spot.
Not Jeff Sheets. You're saying that Jeff Sheets just wants to be entertained.
Jeff says it like we do.
Yeah,
no,
Jeff.
I'm saying a lot of people that are being critics of what
happened.
Yeah,
they're like, clown. It's like my dates. Like, girls look
and
at me like,
because,
make me laugh,
just because
clown.
It's the funniest doesn't mean it's the most memorable or going to drive the most revenue. And so maybe calculations and data over time has said, here's how we can be the most memorable and here's how we can drive the most data. It's not necessarily about being the funniest. And so Maybe the ads have taken a turn that's not quite as entertaining, but maybe it's more effective for the people that are fronting the $5 million bill.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that used to happen, and we have people ask us all the time, there used to be that one or two or three that were just hilarious. Humor sells. Humor helps you remember things. Mm-hmm. It ties you to different things. A Skittles was one of those. I mean, I really think that was one of the very few ads that when the boy, I can't remember, he was throwing the Skittles up into his girlfriend's window, and they were catching it in their mouth, you know, like you do. And it was funny. I heard guttural laughter with the group that I was with, but they just took it too far. Then it went to the dad, and then the mom, and then the robber, and then the policeman that had been chasing the robber. And I mean, it was kind of fun, but they hit it out of the park, only to find out it didn't go all the way out of the park, and somebody caught it, and he was out. You know what I mean? That was the feeling that we had with that particular ad. But that humor is what people look for, is that just over the top. But one of the things when people comment on the ads like this, excuse me, one of the things that we as advertisers have learned over the years, and we were talking about one of the ads during the break, they used to have really fun, humorous, entertaining ads, and then they started doing research that many of those that were most entertaining to the people being entertained by the Super Bowl proper, they weren't remembering who the advertiser was.
Yeah, they just remember it was funny.
And
yeah.
So that's why you've seen a little bit of a change in it, and now you're also starting to see people get a little bit more middle-of-the-road neutral in their message, too, because we have kind of divided stuff going on in the country right now, so you see more of a neutral message come out. You saw a couple that didn't go neutral yesterday, and I haven't had time. We've been doing these interviews all days, but what I started seeing last night was a lot of those trend. A lot of people very positive and a lot of people very negative. I will never buy that product again. Mm. And that's the risk that you take when you pick a side.
Causing people to kind of pick
regardless
a side.
Regardless of which side you pick.
Yeah, I did notice that. I want to get your take on it. I felt like there was some undertones of certain social issues.
Yeah,
even
political.
Even borderline political issues.
Correct.
That were done. And is, you know, advertising, maybe not necessarily even to move a product, but more to move a thought or move a message, is that an effective place to do that? Is it an effective way to spend that kind of money from a marketer's perspective?
Let me make a comment before you answer that question. And I wonder if they think, I don't know about these ad agencies, right? And every ad agency is going to be different in their culture, their mentality. But the idea that the vocal minority on social media is the majority that's watching a Super Bowl, like Super Bowl in general. I mean, typically Super Bowl is blue collar. Typically Super Bowl or football is blue collar rather, right? The type of individuals that love it. And so I felt like there were some, like, just liberal undertones. Everyone's like, really? Like,
well, and,
what is that?
And I have to tell you, as an advertiser,
yeah,
we go to the business and we say, where do you want to take your brand? Is it a direction that you like that it's going? You want us to just sand the edges? Do you want us to change it because you're feeling like it's not getting through? See where we're going with all of this.
Mm-hmm.
You say that the ad agencies are out there coming up with their agendas. It very rarely is the ad agency with the agenda, because
the
person
company
spending the $5 million on the ad and the $200,000, $300,000, $600,000 or $1 million on mm-hmm. producing it,
mm-hmm.
They're the ones that have the say on what's going to be said. Now, case in point, we've had some feedback today on the Anheuser-Busch. So you have the immigration story. It was a minute. Might have been a 2 minute now that I'm thinking back
on
it. It was a long
ad. It took a long time to set up.
Yeah, and so it goes
all
the
way. I liked it. I thought it was good. I thought it was powerful.
But get this. A lot of people are going, oh, my goodness, here comes another picking a sides ad about immigration and this and that and the other. The concepting of that ad began in May. That is not something that came up since the election. That was something.
It's
that
about
was
how
just
you interpret
talking
it. I didn't take it that way. Yeah. I didn't take it with the immigration.
Well, that's because
they
edited out the border wall that was in the original draft.
Well,
I'm serious. I read about that.
That was an 84 lumber, I think, is the one that had that one. And the NFL actually came in and said, guys, time out. But they still can't control that. Your message is your message. You're paying for it. You get to say what you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And our feeling is, you know, say what you want to say. It's your brand. But if you want our opinion, do you really want to lose a percentage of people, regardless of which side of that fence you're sitting on?
Yeah, if you're going to go
but you might be able to
black
get,
or white.
You might be able to get an amazing amount of loyalty from the other side, too. You know, similar to like,
which happens,
to like a Chick-fil-A. You know, they've made it very clear how conservative they are. And so they've said a lot of people swore off ever going there. But now they have
a certain amount of loyalty
mm-hmm. that's going to stick with them. And if you appeal to 10, even 15% of the country really, really hard and loyal, I mean, you can make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Well, and you're seeing not just this year, but in previous years, you're seeing, you know, now that you guys have been around TV long enough, I've been around it since they went from black and white to color. I just dated myself.
You're not that old.
Anyway,
come on.
Actually, I am. But all things considered, we're now starting to see retro spots. Stuff that was successful, stuff that brings back good memories of good times.
Nostalgia.
Spuds McKenzie.
Juicy fruit commercials.
You're starting to see, which wasn't a Super Bowl, but you're starting to see Spuds McKenzie. If you follow the beer commercials in the past years, when was the last time you saw a Busch beer spot? But years ago, in my generation, they advertised quite a bit, and it was Busch when they would open up the can. It was that sound of the whoosh that opened up the can.
Yeah, there's some basic things that, like, that stick with you, and
right.
I feel like they've gone away from those things. I don't know. Let's talk about, or you want to continue?
Oh, I just had one more question about commercials overall. I mean, for instance, myself, the Super Bowl, the last time that I watched more than one or two commercials in a sequence was last year's Super Bowl because of DVR, because of the urge to change the channels on Sundays. And during even during college games and BYU games, I find myself scrolling and checking scores and looking at my phone. And the only time I'm really locked in on commercials would be the Super Bowl and last Super Bowl. And so does that have something to do with driving the price up, that commercials overall are being watched less except for in the Super Bowl?
No. Commercials, believe it or not, are actually watched almost as much as
they
normal.
Ever have.
I mean, I have a DVR. I don't watch much TV. I just don't have time. But when I do... maybe it's my age, I don't know. But I start watching and I forget that I can fast forward. And so we're watching through the commercials quite often. It is less than 50% of people actually fast forward through all the commercials. And I don't know why. And especially if it's local commercials. And speaking of local, one thing that's really interesting, there were some good local commercials.
Yeah, there was. The car dealership one was really funny.
Yeah, the Riverton Chevy.
Riverton Chevy one.
Uh-huh. It was kind of like the Mr. Clean. It was like, okay, at the end, a little awkward. made its point.
I love awkward, though.
We had a couple of ours.
I'm awkward. Ben's awkward.
Mm-hmm. I'm really awkward.
We embrace the awkward.
Yeah.
Exactly. We had
I call it peculiar.
Exactly. We had Minky Couture in there. Minky Couture, the blanket company.
Yeah.
Now, come on. Isn't this a guy's thing, the Super Bowl? But... That's
the
actually
perfect,
our
client. The perfect gift.
But all of a sudden, here's the Valentine's, and how many of you are going, man, what am I
what
doing
am
this
I
year?
Get?
Today's the day. Mm-hmm. What am I going to get?
Might as well, so I can just check it off my list.
Oh, yeah,
my wife's not listening.
What's interesting is there are a lot of people, even on social media, who thought that was a national spot. they thought Minky Couture was a national spot. They did such a good job. PB Fit, another company that did a really good job. You have the, you know, the political, the Republican, the Democrat. You have the Android.
Let's meet in the middle.
Yeah, and you meet in the middle, and it's the powder and the good taste of healthy. You know,
it's like Lady and the Tramp.
And so I've got to give some of our local people like them and the Utah Advocates, the attorneys that have kind of done a little bit more creative and don't sound the same as all the others. I had to give some of them a little credit along with the Riverton and some of these too, because, you know, it is one of those places where if you're, because it's relative to the local. You're not paying $5 million, but you're paying relative to the local.
Proportionally, you're paying a lot more than you would be for any other place to have local commercials.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's a gamble for some of these people because what you pay for one Super Bowl ad is pretty substantial. So you have to make sure that your production is good.
Real quick, let's talk about how advertising and branding and marketing applies to BYU sports right now.
Okay.
How is BYU doing as far as their branding, their marketing? How does that impact the recruiting world, right? How is that impacting, in your opinion, the fan base and the involvement from the fan base in all these sporting events and what they're watching and what they're consuming?
Well, as I don't know if you know this, but we're tied to the Cougar Club, and we have conversations with them on a regular basis. They use us for some marketing.
Okay.
One of the things that we have learned, and this is an opinion from the outside even before when we started working with them, one of the things from the outside is there are people who feel like one of the best social media colleges out there is Brigham Young University.
Mm.
They're very active on Twitter. I mean, you talk to anybody. I've heard it even on your show when they start calling in and saying, yeah, I said this, that, or the other. And my Twitter blew up with BYU fans. Not only are they there to be reached, but they are there to be reached in mass. And so the social media BYU has picked up on really well. The presentation of how it feels to be here, and you don't have to be so incredibly odd or unique, which is what a lot of people thought, people that I know who weren't familiar with Brigham Young. They are doing a really, really good job of saying, you know what, there are a lot of people who are not what you think it is coming here to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you played ball with some of those guys, both of you guys,
sure,
that said, man, this is a little bit different. I saw a tweet, I think it was just today, of a receiver who is being trained by, who's the guy that does
Margin Hooks?
By Margin. And Margin said, hey, this is a good fit for you because they're all about the bigger picture, not just getting you to the NFL. They're all about the bigger picture. So what I'm seeing in all of this is the presentation. Here's the thing that we do with advertisers a lot, and I'll bring it back to BYU. Quite often an advertiser says, we want you to say this and present this, and we're having a hard time getting this across to our customer. Well, one of the things we're saying to them all the time is you need to understand something. If we are going to present that you do this and this is who you are, this is your brand, you've got to back it up when they get there. If you can't back up the claim, it's worse than had you not claimed it. And so one of the things that BYU is now doing is they are saying it is a family atmosphere. You can fit in here. And they're doing it through social media. They're taking some of these recruits and different people from the outside, even people who are reporters and such. And like the players, they're now dressing them up. They were one of the very first to put them in their own uniform that looked like a BYU uniform and everything. What they're doing is they're creating a culture shift in social media, which is what I would say is the best thing that BYU is doing to brand themselves moving forward, is they're creating a culture shift in the mind of those who aren't sure.
And what could they do better, in your opinion?
Well, that's a great question because everybody has an opinion on those things. But
well, that's what I'm saying. I think they do a good job. I think it's hard to create. I think it's very hard to dispel myths and preconceived notions about who Mormons are and who BYU is and what you get from your BYU experience and what actually happens in Provo, right? So, you know, if you're trying to expand on your recruiting footprint.
Right.
If you're trying to garner more fans, right,
well,
around the nation.
There's one thing that we can't really control. I mean, and that's a conference. That's one of the best things that they could do, and I almost wish they'd just go out and create their own conference and kind of get a couple of people in there that don't want to be in there. It's like a Texas. Texas doesn't want to be in their conference anymore. Okay, let's just do our own. But I don't know how to fix that. You know, everybody wants BYU to go get out of Independence and get into a conference because of football. I think it would be great to get into a conference so we don't have to have West Coast Conference officials anymore. And I'm not even saying just for BYU. I watch a game with West Coast Conference officials, and you have the same – I don't know how – do they even have enough guys to do all the games? You have the same guy at every BYU home game.
Mike's one of those hate officials. Oh,
no, not
the officials
me.
Guy.
Not
I'm
me.
I'm with Mike.
Not me.
I'm with Mike. Yeah,
okay. All right.
You got a family member
no
here,
one
though.
Fouls, yeah.
You know, when,
watching Tyler
when,
go through it, he when, went through
when
with
you're,
those officials.
Oh, when you're,
especially West Coast.
He's the worst one.
Yeah, when your cousin weighs 160 pounds and he's getting bullied around, you know, but he's getting
fouled around. He's getting fouled, Ben.
True confessions.
If he weighed more, he wouldn't be pushed all over the place.
True confessions.
No, they just fouled in such in such abundance that they put the
They target gingers, let's be honest.
No. I'm not talking about TJ, I'm talking about Tyler. They fouled in such abundance that they put the referees in a spot where they either had to call so many fouls that it ruined the game, or they had to just start letting it slide along Tyler. And that was the strategy that a lot of teams implemented.
Sure.
Anyways, what I want to talk about is Kalani.
Let me clarify something here now that you've thrown me under the bus with officials.
Yeah, see?
I am really, really, really stressed about the fact that when I get to the pearly gates that St. Peter will have a striped shirt on. Anyway.
It's all good, man. We're up against a break. When we come back, we'll give you a Cougar Insider Report as well as give you a segment of Keeping Up with the Cougars. Mike, we thank you for stopping in and saying hello. You can feel free to hang out with us some more if you'd like, or if you have other appointments, feel free. But we're going to be chatting in the Cougar Insider Report and Keeping Up with the Cougars segments next. And then also we got Mark Durant in the 5 o'clock hour. Stay tuned. Cougar Sports, ESPN 960.